The first one is Psalms 31, 9 and 10. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye wastes away from grief, my soul and body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery, and my bones waste away. And next is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 through 4. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And though the water and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. And next is Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Thank you, Steve. Our invitation today is to come as we are. It's really all we've got. And so here we are as we are. And this is God's call to us. We need manna. We need manna today, just as the Israelites needed it as they wandered through the desert. I'm sure they weren't delivered as quickly as they would have liked to be. But God provided nourishment for them every day. Last week, Micah reminded us of our call to the cross and the cost of discipleship. And today we're talking about our weariness. One of the great mysteries of our faith is the simultaneous call on the one hand to deep soul rest in the presence of Christ, and on the other hand, at the same time, intentional prophetic work for what Matthew calls the least of these, my brothers and sisters. Gordon and Mary Cosby, I don't know if some of you know of them, with they're deceased now, but they were with the Church of the Savior in D.C. And they had a large influence in my spiritual life because the church always focused on the journey inward and the journey outward. And this is the thing that drew me to Quakerism as well. The need for an internal spiritual reality of a risen Christ, attention to our inner lives, and out of that springs our action in the world. Just as a reminder, we have many selves, many parts of ourselves. We have that part of ourself that serves and loves. We have a part of ourself that sacrifices and endures. We have a part of ourselves that follows and obeys. We have a part of ourselves that resists and runs away. We have a part of ourselves that praises and rejoices, that works and labors, that relaxes and plays. And the part we focus on today, a part that worries, is weary, is anxious, confused, or angry. We have to be careful not to become our fear. It's a part of us, but it's not all of us. And Rebecca, thank you for reminding us of that last week. So keep in mind, we're much more than these parts of us that are so in need. All of our fears and worries and concerns are magnified, I think, in living through this pandemic. Although, as I've been reflecting on the history of the world in the last few weeks, it seems there's never been a time where the status quo has held very steady. We're worried about raising our children. We're worried about not seeing our family members and those we love. We're worried about our aging parents. Right, Faith and Micah? We're worried about our not loving our spouses and partners well enough. We're worried about not having spouses or partners. We're worried about our friends, about ourselves, about our country, about our world, about the environment, about poverty and inequalities, about our health, about our jobs, about our colleagues, about our body of Christ, about our physical, mental, and spiritual health, about getting older, about dying, about our faith, about our hearts, about our current lives, sometimes about our past actions, and about our future. It's no wonder our surprise with such a litany that our fears and our concerns are of great importance to us. And the psalmist that you, the Psalms you read, Steve, I don't think we can go any deeper than this psalmist in pain. My strength fails because of my affliction and my bones grow weak. That's pretty graphic right there. Teresa of Avila has always been an interesting person to me. She was a saint who lived in Spain in the 1500s. And many, many years ago, what got me interested in learning more about her, someone told me a somewhat apocryphal story. The story exists in a lot of forms. But she was a good psalmist because she was out doing her deeds for the poor. She had her little donkey-drawn cart with goods that she was giving away. It had been raining for days. The ground was only mud. The wheel of her cart fell off, as one of the versions of the story goes, and she fell in the mud. So here she was, out by herself, unable to repair this cart. She didn't have with her what she needed, trying to serve God, covered in mud, needing to get home. And the story goes that she lifted her fist to the sky and said, "God, if this is how you treat your friends, no wonder you have so few of them." Been there? Rachel Held Evans was a young prophet among us who died so young. But she reminds us the psalmist invites us to rejoice, wrestle, cry, complain, offer thanks, and shout obscenities before our Maker without self-consciousness and without fear. Life is full of the joys and sorrows, she says, that don't resolve neatly. God knows that. The Bible knows that. Why do we not live as if we know that? This pandemic's found many of us calling on resources we don't have. Our normal illusions of control and order have been ripped away. And this can be dangerous territory for us Christians, because I agree with Parker Palmer when he says, the more fearful we are of being unable to control anything, the more we risk becoming paralyzed. But there is an answer when Jesus says, "Come to me and I will give you rest." This is a wild and almost incomprehensible reality. I mean, it's easy enough to give our accomplished selves, our kind selves, our compassionate selves, our serving selves to God, and that's good. But where we are pained and grieving and angry and miserable and ready to give up, what are we to do with these? And Jesus tells us, "Come to me and I will give you rest." It's such a simple invitation. And yet it's almost impossible for many of us who are so often self-driven, with our spirits of self-sufficiency and independence and competence. We're slow to bring these parts of ourselves to God or to the Christian community, but these are the parts where we most need the love and healing of God. We're wounded, and we seek and need the comfort and teaching of a loving Christ who alone can heal our wounds. It's a marvelous book from many, many years ago, written by the priest Henry Nouwen, called Wounded Healers, where he makes an argument that our entire ability to serve and be used by God is based on understanding our own woundedness and accepting God's healing. We're culturally entrenched in a life of worldly success, and repeatedly throughout our lives, we're rewarded and recognized for it. Be all that you can be. Recognize that one? The Army recruiting slogan. It suggests we live as strong, confident, achieving, integrated, and in control folks. Yet God's call to us from the bottom down through all the stages of life and in every circumstance to come as we are. When you are discouraged, when I'm discouraged, remember that God has always had a ragtag following. Human beings, I mean, you look at the life of disciples, what a mess many of them were. Look at the lives of the great religious leaders through history, and then you learn the shadow sides of their lives, and you thought, you think, how could there be so much of this in their lives, and yet the way that God used them? As we try to deal with times of loss and bereavement and loneliness, bewilderment, confusion, we're placed directly in conflict with this world. Our world has taught us, chin up, brush yourselves off, get up, keep going, show them who's boss. Dale Carnegie, the antithesis to our Quaker faith, said, if you want to conquer fear, don't just sit there, go out and get busy. I'm afraid I've followed his advice too well. It's not the way of the gospel. It's not the teaching of the scripture. As Quakers, we're so fortunate to have and to live in a stream that values silence and deep inner listening. Now, understanding our need to go inward is great. We like that part of being Quakers, but living it, well, there's something else. We know in our heads and our hearts that there's often disagreement. Our hearts get it that we need to go within. But our heads say, not so sure. We got some important work here to get done. It's oh so tempting to move away from our dis-ease, our suffering, our lostness, our loneliness, and look elsewhere. Each of us has some shields, and I want you to think, please, with me today about your shields. I've been thinking about mine. These shields are ways of preventing ourselves from coming to the Spirit of Christ in honest, open, and vulnerable ways. What are your shields? Jesus says, come to me. And I think, well, I think I'd rather get some things done. I'd rather be productive. I'd rather earn money. I'd rather work harder. I'd rather go to the internet. I'd rather choose my addiction or one of my favorites. Just deny it. Just push it aside. It'll be there later to deal with. I got some more important stuff to do today. Letting go of these shills and coming to the Spirit of Christ as we are in the moment. Not so easy, really. It gives us a very present vulnerability, which we don't always welcome, but it also opens us to healing and growth. In these moments when we can really come honestly before God, we're right where God wants us to be, I believe, because it's real. We have positioned ourselves where God can touch us, heal us, challenge us, be real back to us. My wounds embarrass me. They hurt deeply. And I don't want to be identified with them and deal with them. And yet there is one who can. And for me to fail to come before the Spirit of Christ, for me to run away and get busy, for me to deny that these parts are within me and need attention, it carries great peril, not only to us individually, but to the body of Christ. Because if we don't look to the Spirit of Christ for healing and peace, if we stick with our distractions and shields, we become a menace to our own spiritual growth and actually to the whole body of Christ. For these are the time that hold the very seeds of healing and hope and a sense of our call to action. The Isaiah scripture of "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you." Be not afraid. Wait, what? Really? Live in this kind of world and be not afraid? It's a totally ridiculous command. And it's not possible because of anything we can do on our own. It is only because of the living presence of the one who commands it. Jesus added on to what Isaiah said, that God told Isaiah that God was there. Jesus said more. Jesus has issued a call and a promise to us. The call is, come to me. The promise is, I will give you rest. That whole process of coming as we are is one of letting go. There's a little bit of control freak. I can say, whoa, not sure I can let go of all of that. Because we cannot imagine, and we should not imagine, what the results of this coming will be. When we sit honestly before God with our own frailty, our honest lack of fidelity, our fears and concerns, when we know deep within that we need a liberator, the Creator God reveals that Spirit, draws us into the light. It is the call of love. We are in the season of Lent. It is a time to be present to our need and to the world's need. And we're reminded of our total dependence on God. The world is full of transition and full of changes. And we who love order and stasis, this is a test of our faith. But we remember there is a solid rock, a faithful God, a waiting Jesus. As we come and sit with the one who loves us most and calls us most deeply, we open ourselves to the degree we can with the candor of the psalmist. And we be, just be. Thomas Kelly, in the opening of his beautiful Testament of Devotion, says, a practicing Christian must above all be one who practices the perpetual return of the soul into the inner sanctuary. In open worship, we go as we are and ask, where am I most in need for the healing love of Christ? Am I willing to be vulnerable and allow this need to become more visible? Am I willing to put down my shields that keep me from this intimate relationship? May we observe a holy Lent by fasting from convenient answers, quick fixes, immediate gratification, and clinging to empty promises. May we instead be like Jesus, clinging to the Word of God while we are in our own wilderness wandering. Oh God, peel away our illusions and remind us not only of our utter dependence on you, but of your total reliability. You and you alone are our creator and recreator. And invite us to bring every part of ourselves to you for service and for love. Just as we are now, we come before you, and we thank you for that invitation.